Blog Talk Radio.
Awaken to consciousness. It's time for a paradigm shift. It's time for love empowerment. It's time to create your ideal life. It's time. And this is Carol Parisi. It's time for Awaken to Empowerment. And I'm hoping Nancy's online with us. You there, Nance?
I don't know. Did you cue me in? No.
You're there. I hear you. Yep. All right,
oh,
well, welcome. Well, this is going to be a great show because I put a little bit of an outline together today. And a couple things that, you know, really want to get out there into cyber world on here on Blog Talk Radio. And the first one is Coca-Cola. Did you hear about the real thing, Coke?
No.
Did you hear about what they
did? Somebody brings it to me.
Okay, well, you're almost breaking up a little bit. I heard every other word, but I heard somebody brings it to me. But Coca-Cola funds scientists who shift to blame obesity away from bad diets. So Coca-Cola is saying that junk food isn't the reason why America's fat. I'm going to read it to you. This is from the New York Times, dated yesterday. Coca-Cola, the world's largest producer of sugary beverages, is backing a new, quote-unquote, science-based solution to the obesity problem. To maintain a healthy weight, get more exercise, and worry less about cutting calories. The beverage giant has teamed up with influential scientists who are advancing this message in medical journals, at conferences through social media. To help the scientists get the word out, Coke has provided financial and logistical support to a new nonprofit organization called the Global Energy Balance Network, which promotes the argument that weight-conscious Americans are overly fixated on how much they eat and drink while not paying enough attention to exercise. Most of the focus in this popular media and scientific press is, oh, they're eating too much, blaming fast food, blaming sugary drinks, and so on. The group's vice president, Stephen N. Blair, an exercise scientist, said. He said there's no compelling evidence that that's the cause. And that is from the New York Times. So,
yay.
Nancy, what are your thoughts on Coke's new awakening, saying it's not sugary, garbagey food, or it's not sugary food, it's not fast food, it's people aren't moving enough?
Yeah, I say read the label.
Exactly. If it doesn't look like something that's, like, simulated in nature, you might want to think a couple times, you know. I don't know, chicken nuggets, are they the chicken pellet poops or something? You know, a nice chicken breast, that's what it looks like in nature. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, exactly. All I can say is read the label.
You know, I mean, I don't know if we had this conversation recently about the big corporations, but this is so reminiscent to me of the cigarette companies back in the 30s and the 40s. 9 out of 10 doctors recommend Winston. Do you remember? Have you ever seen any of those old smoking ads where the doctors say that smoking is great for your health and have a cigarette, cigarettes a day is healthy? Have you ever
I've heard that it's healthy, but I definitely have seen the propaganda, and they try to make the ads extremely sexy and appealing, and especially towards young people.
Beverages are those young people. So people, do your homework. This is just propaganda. By big corporations to teach you to make crazy choices. As a certified wellness professional, as a certified lifestyle weight management counselor, certified personal trainer, certified herbalist, okay, here's the deal. You want to lose weight? Take in less calories. You want to be healthy? Eat food the closest to its original inception. If it looks like a chicken breast, it's probably a chicken breast. Processed foods, eliminate sugar is poison. Sugar is a cancer feeder. And, yes, you do need exercise. You need 3 different types of exercise. You need aerobic exercise, flexibility exercise, and strength training. You incorporate all of the healthy nutrition and good eating into a life, and you get good exercise, and you do your good meditations, you're gonna do much better with that. So Coca-Cola, I think you're going to get the gong of the week. You know?
Yeah. I'd say they get the big X, the red X with the noise behind it.
Right, right.
Uh-huh.
Well,
yeah,
you know what?
It's
all a matter of, habits. And so many people are in the habit of, drinking the.
I lost you.
Ounce of cocaine, and that's why people were loving it. Did you know that one?
Yeah, I lost most of what you just said. And there's a storm around here, so that can have something to do with it. But I heard the part about Coke being in Coke.
Yes, there was Coke in Coke. But it's all habit. And I'm going to read to you one of my favorite poems in the whole world. I own this poem. I don't own it. I didn't write it. But I'm going to read it to you. I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper or your heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do might as well turn over to me, and I will do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. Be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of great people and the alas of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I am the servant of great people, and I'd already read that. I am not a machine, though. I work with the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. And I'll tell you, I love that poem. That poem is just, it's so true. It's so true, so true, so true. Our habits totally make or break us. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I mean, so that in mind, I am starting to make some very conscious habits in my life. Very conscious habits. And the first one is turning off the water when I brush my teeth. You don't watch TV, do you, Nancy?
I have heard that one, and I have practiced that at most all the time.
Do you watch TV?
So watch TV? No.
Okay, there's this really
talking about the brush in your teeth.
There's a real compelling commercial about this guy, and he's brushing his teeth, and you start getting all these different things, like these cups coming in as the water's running, and the last thing you see is this little girl putting this, her hands and just drinking this water, and it's like you go through like 13 gallons or something, don't quote me on that, every time you brush your teeth if you leave your water running, and that's enough for a week to feed a person or give a person, and like, you know what? That's a damn good habit. That's a socially conscious, ecologically good habit to get into. So I'm making a list of all the habits that I'd like to start getting into and start doing, and that is one of them. And I'm going to throw out a challenge because it takes 3 weeks to make a habit stick. So, you know, any habits that you want to start embracing that you'd like to make better, or maybe next week you have a list of 12 habits that we could start incorporating by the end of the year here. Nancy? You're still on. I don't know why I can't hear you.
Oh, maybe because I touched my mute. Ow, hurting myself too. Okay. My habit is that I'm still working on is the gratitude.
You're still trying to do the gratitude every morning. Have you been doing it?
I have.
Good. So
I just try to make it the first priority. Sometimes I catch myself like, damn, I forgot to do the gratitude thing because I get right up and I start getting rolling.
So you do it, then you do it then, I hope, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's only my time imposition on myself of when to do it. It really probably isn't that important as to when, as long as it does get done. But it's
right.
Easier for me just to make that habit the first thing in the morning.
Right, exactly. It's like brushing your teeth, you know? It's like you do it all the time.
Exactly.
You
can do it while you're brushing your teeth. There you go.
There you go. Well, that's another thing I want to start doing is pulling, the oil pulling every day.
Yeah. You know how that goes.
20 minutes you got to do it for, though.
I know. It just seems really long.
Especially for those of us who like to chatter. Because there's not a lot of chattering going on when you do the oil pulling for 20 minutes.
Not so much.
Right?
I'd have to do that before my coffee because otherwise the chattering would get in the way of the oil pulling.
Right. So that's another habit that I want to do. But habits our habits really can make or break our lives, you know? I mean, so much. You know, it's like everything. You know, I think a lot of people, their self-talk is a habit. Oh, I'm so stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so bad. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a bad.
You know, I'll never be able to do this, or I can't do that, or that's too hard.
I know. I got the can't today, and I said to that person who's a newer person that I've met, business person, I said, well, I can't, blah, 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 and I'm like, don't say can't. What you really mean is you're choosing not to. And I can respect a decision, but I can't respect copping out.
So what you want to share what they can't do?
I needed them to come meet me somewhere. So they were going to come to point A, and I needed them to come only half a mile to point B, which meant that I could stay doing my work that I was doing this morning. And the comment back was, well, I can't go there. I'm like, no, you just are going to choose not to. So I just called them out on the can't word because when I hear it, it really sets me off.
That is C-word.
Yeah, it really sets me off. And I'm very conscious of that word.
Right.
Because you really... I don't think I say it very often, I can't. I will say,
I'm choosing not to, or I'm making a choice other than A, B, or C, but I know I can do anything I really want to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I have really proved that to myself. I mean, I can whatever, do whatever.
Another person, I'm kind of surprised. You're talking a half a mile more, and they were not willing to come a half a mile more to go ahead and work with you, and this one's a business partner of yours?
Yeah, so this newer people. So it also goes back to a phrase that I use when somebody shows you who they truly are by their actions, not their words so much, but they follow it up with actions. Believe them the first time. Because I'm pretty good at giving people the benefit of the doubt, the benefit of the doubt, benefit of the doubt, and then when they keep disappointing me, after I've been disappointed by that same action, I think, well, no, they showed you that from the very beginning, that they weren't willing to do this, that, and the other. So really, the only person you could be angry with now is yourself for having allowed them the opportunity to show you exactly who they are over and over and over again instead of just believing them the first time.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard discipline, and it's hard to be that hard with people.
You know what? No, I'm gonna take it back. You know what? I think sometimes people in circumstances make them do things, but I suppose if they get in the same circumstance, they may have the same behavior.
Right. It just shows you the nature of a person. You know, and usually in the beginning, they're pretty much being truthful about, you know, their situations, especially when it's not I'm trying to impress you or date you or something like that. They're just being themselves.
Right.
You know, that, and then when people tell you about their history of experiences they've had,
I think
then
it's
you got to start.
Do you think it's them being in a habit of bad behavior and it's their habit?
Yes. Either it hasn't been brought to their attention that this is a recurring pattern in your life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it takes a lot of conscious effort to recognize your patterns and decide if it's a pattern you want to continue or you don't. And then if you don't, to make concerted efforts to make a new habit that will get you a better end result.
Right.
But it takes a lot of conscious effort to work on yourself. And having done nothing really but work on myself for a solid year now, it's, you know, really kind of eye-opening.
Does it make you look at other people differently? What has it done for you working on yourself for this solid year? What have you learned about yourself, and what have you learned interrelationally with others from learning for yourself?
I've learned that I can be friends with men. That was an important thing to learn.
You didn't know that? I'm sorry. I didn't. You couldn't.
I knew that, but I didn't practice it. I never practiced that, really. If I was friends with a man, it's because I was probably attracted to them at some level, and eventually it turned into some kind of dating situation. So to not have that, or to change it the other way, where I started out as maybe it's a dating situation, but then I really just had interest in being platonic friends. So it's been interesting to experience that. It's opened my eyes. What the discovery of the last year is, it opened my eyes to a lot of patterns and habits that I had that needed alterations.
If you want to share, if somebody could benefit.
I don't have the whole list. We don't have time for me to think about the whole list, but just, you know, focusing on my immediate needs and the taking care of myself aspect of it, and just having that as the main focus rather than the need for a man in my life necessarily.
That's good.
I mean, it's the first time I have not dated anyone in a very, very long time. And now it's the first time I'm back living on my own in a very, very long time.
Isn't it great? And I bet
you're going powered by... Oh, it's amazing how much... You know what I realized? How much energy I spent on those relationships and situations. And I'm not saying that it's all for not or all bad, because lots of relationships take a lot of effort. Marriage takes a lot of effort, and I'm not saying it's not a rewarding experience with the right person. I'm just saying that I realize how much energy and effort I was putting into those situations.
Right. Well,
it's just
awesome.
When you take a step back, you kind of go, "Whoa." That's interesting.
Very cool. Well, that's a very empowering thing for our listeners to hear. You know, you do this work, and then you see the results, and you are more authentic to yourself, and that's a really wonderful, wonderful thing, too. So,
yeah.
We've got about another 8 minutes left of our show. And I too have been doing a lot of studying. I've been doing studying all over the place. Here's one of my other habits that I'm doing, and that's trying to read a book a week. Now, I'm not reading through a book a whole book. I mean, some of the stuff, I've been going through different books every week. And, some of them we've discussed. Well, I actually have one of an old business book on entrepreneurship, which, by the way, we don't teach enough in school. It's kind of something.
Oh, I told
you
there's a degree. There's a degree program. There's a baccalaureate degree program here in Florida that is a bachelor's degree in entrepreneurship.
That's awesome. I wonder who established that. That was kudos to them.
I'll have to ask the person that I know that graduated, and then another family member that is actually in the middle of taking classes for this graduate degree. And the first person I mentioned did it as an older adult. I mean, she's 50, and she graduated maybe a couple years ago, whatever it was. But she just felt that it was empowering. So I would like to have a conversation with her about, what did you learn through that class that you don't think you would have learned by the School of Hard Knocks or just doing it any other means, what kind of educational base does that provide for you? Then, and I think she's a fantastic entrepreneur, highly organized, on her own, single mom, grandma, takes care of her family members, gives back to her church. I mean, she's a pretty intense, shining example. I'm there. She's taking a fabulous trip to Greece, and she has another trip in March in Hawaii. So I mean, she's vacations and enjoys herself, and she's not attached to any man. She's just enjoying her life.
Huh? Wow, that's great.
But,
she's
an interesting person.
So have you just how you finance? What I'd like to talk today on today's show about entrepreneurship, though, is from this class that I'm doing, too, and maybe you get additional insight from your friend, and looking forward to hearing the response from that. But financing the small business startup, that seems to be a lot of entrepreneurs' biggest problems. And, there are resources there, but a lot of people don't understand when entrepreneurs actually start their business, they need to understand that they're not going to get paid right away. So I found this very interesting. Did you ever hear of the term bootstrapping?
You've mentioned it, but I don't recall exactly what the definition is, so you might as well repeat it.
It's totally what we've all done. It involves operating as frugally as possible and cutting all unnecessary expenses and getting by using as few resources of your own as you can. You hire as few employees as possible.
you lease anything you can. You have to be creative. So I just thought that was a really cool word. And it's like stuff that you've done, I know you've done, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it's the first thing you do is you get lean, you get mean, and you get real. And, you know, it's funny, but, you know, that's, you know, so many entrepreneurs want to get paid first right away, right?
Right, right. With the get-rich-quick scenarios.
Well, there's no such thing as get-rich-quick.
No. The only way you can get rich quick is if you win the lottery. And the chances of that are the same as getting struck by lightning.
Well, I've seen some trees around here lately, kind of close.
It sounded pretty scary last night, I'll tell you that much, in this area.
Right. So do you have any other entrepreneurial words or entrepreneurial tips?
Nothing new that I can really pull off the top of my head. It's just going back to the basics and really being able to analyze and tear apart whatever your opportunity is that's presented in front of you and take your time to figure it out.
Yeah. Well, and then there's your favorite and my favorite. What's our favorite entrepreneurial tip?
Do whatever it takes. Yeah, you have to get to the point that you're willing to do that. If you're not at that point, then you're not going to be a successful entrepreneur. You have to get that mindset straight first.
Yep.
Then your chances of success are increased greatly.
Yep. So any new and fun adventures of Nancy?
Stuff that's coming up, that'll be new and fun, going back to doing some private sales repping. So once I know all that entails, that I'll know more this weekend, so that'll kind of firming up those situations. And then I'll have some new adventures. I'm going to do some sign spinning on Thursday and Friday.
What?
You know, the people that stand out in front of stores and stuff and wave signs around and try to get your attention for promotions that are going on?
Okay.
Well, it pays really good money because they would have to make you stand out in the heat and do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've decided that the money is really good and I had some spare time. So I'm challenging myself to do it. I committed to only 2 days.
Fun. Well, we have 90 seconds. So
we'll see.
I am looking forward to you overcoming your challenge and doing some sign spinning, even though it's hot out. I mean, do you have to do it? Do you have to do it in the rain too?
They say to be prepared. I do have a full rain suit that I bought, so I am prepared for that.
That's another entrepreneurial tip. And you are doing whatever it takes. And you know what?
Yes.
We've got 50 seconds left for this show. So with that, I want to thank you, Nancy, for joining us and sharing all your good knowledge and wisdom. And go look up that Coca-Cola article, folks. I think everybody should call Coke and say, you know what? Sugar is poison and mass, and it's addictive. And remember,
I think they know that.
Your habits are your master or your servant. So, you know, I would much rather have good ones because your habits are the master of your life. And
yes, they are.
And next week we will be back here on Monday at 5 o'clock Central Standard Time. Thank you for joining us. And this is Carol Parisi signing off for Awaken to Empowerment. It's time. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
Ciao. Bye.
Bye.